Good morning. Welcome to the Pivot Shift Ahead Mastermind. It's your friend James Shaw, and we are back and better than ever. It is 7:36 Eastern on this Gratitude Day. I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina, the Triangle. Technically, I think I'm in Morrisville, but it gets confusing, and no one really knows what town you're in when you're in the Triangle. But I'm heading to Apex today. I'm going to do a shift workshop. The shift workshop is to support my friend Ginger Peters. If you know Ginger, she was involved in just a horrific accident that involved her dress catching fire, and she got burns all over her body. She's been in the hospital now for 2 months. She's a top agent here in town. Her team's running the business and doing an amazing job. And they asked if I would come do a shift workshop to raise money for Ginger. So I said yes, but I want 200 people there at $50 a person. That's, you know, it's a decent amount of money. What, $10,000 we can raise for Ginger. I'm not charging for my fee. I waived my fee. I paid all my own expenses. I'm up here for free completely to be able to do this shift workshop today in the Triangle to support Ginger. So if you're going to be there, I'll see you there. And thank you to everybody who has supported her. Tomorrow we'll be in Myrtle Beach doing Rise, and then Thursday in the CLT doing another shift workshop, which is going to be fun. So it's a tour of the Carolinas this week, and I'm excited that I'll get to see a bunch of you. We have a bunch of Pivot and Inspire members inside of the Carolinas region, so I'll look forward to seeing you. Now, what we do in here is two mastermind calls in one. If it's your first time listening, thank you for being on. Put it in the chat if it's your first time on the call, because I'm so thankful. We always have people coming and going, and people have been here since we started in March of 2016, and people who are new every day. So thank you so much for being part of this. We do two mastermind calls in one. The front half of the call is something you've asked inside of Pivot Shift Ahead. The second half of the call is something that's been on my mind. Well, we have definitely hit something that's of importance to you. On Friday, we talked about how your worth is not defined by your production and how anxiety can come to people this time of year as they reflect on the year. You had a great year, you have anxiety. You had a not so great year, you can still have some anxiety. So that was Friday, like setting that up. Yesterday on Monday, I talked specifically to the people, those of you who had really good years, you're really pleased, and we addressed some of the anxiety and issues and challenges mentally that that brings going into a new year. Today, I'm going to talk to most of you. The group we're talking to today is the largest part of the group, and that's those of you who didn't accomplish this year what you thought you would. And we're going to address the anxiety that comes with that. We'll do that at the top of the hour, so in about 20 minutes. But before we get to that, I always like to answer something. Excuse me, I like to answer something that's come up inside of Pivot. And Hannah asked this question. This is a good question, and I just get very excited when people go into the Pivot Shift Ahead Facebook group and ask questions. That's the entire point of the community. And Hannah says, luxury agents, how did you break into that type of real estate? Did you do any specific steps? What do you wish you knew then that you know now? She says, give me all the advice. Well, we only have 21 minutes, so we're not going to give you all of the advice, but we'll give you as much as we can in 21 minutes. Good news is, and I shared it with Hannah already, is that we did a Wednesday webinar on this with Heidi Joy a while back, and I posted the link to it. So if anybody wants to see that, if you just go to jamesdshaw.com, you click on Agent Interviews and type in Heidi. It'll pop right up and you'll be able to hear it. But I'm curious about those of you that works in luxury. Masha's, she's going to list Bill Belichick's house. I have a feeling that house, she's going to list that one on the market. That'll be luxury. She's in Chapel Hill. Masha, good morning.
Good morning. I struggled with this years ago and I still struggle with it. I would say the first thing, and I think my coach would agree with me, go learn the market in the luxury niche that you want to understand, whether it's modernist or golf club or whatever, all of it. Go out and keep up with what's on the market. Find a mentor, hang out with people who are doing what you want to do. Go be in the places where you want to be a year from now, 5 years from now. Start to become a community resource for the people you want to serve. Meg spent a great hour plus teaching us about our ideal clients and who they are, and to really understand what services they need, where they live, who they hang out with. Go mentor, learn from those people, be a connector, provide resources, and talk about that with your community. Let them know you're that person that you can provide those resources.
Great answer, Masha. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. I'm waving at you from where, whatever town I'm in right now.
I'm waving at you. I won't see you today.
That's all right. I'm giving you a wave. I'm giving you a wave. We'll see you later. You got a lot going on too. So a lot of prayers and love to you.
Thank you.
Brian, good morning in Phoenix.
Good morning. So I started my career selling dirt and mobile homes. And, you know, my broker at one point in 2020, when Tiger King came out, was like, hey, you're the trailer queen. And I'm like, no. That's not something that we want to be calling ourselves. So then I just started branding myself as luxury. And I kind of came up with a luxury kind of team name and that sort of thing. And then, you know, my first luxury deal came from a referral inside my brokerage, which was great. And now I get like kind of luxury stuff through Google, which is kind of cool. And again,
I like that. So first it was a mindset is what I'm hearing.
Absolutely. Mindset. And the same with Marsha, you know, I mean, get to know people that are in that sphere and in that world, and they know people who know people. You just get connected.
Yep. By the way, as a sidebar, there's nothing wrong with being the trailer queen. Like you can sell a trailer a day. You'd make, you know, it's $15 million in volume, sell a trailer a day. So it's fine. You go be you, but that you wanted to move into another space. And you know why? Because Scott wanted to give people hampers from Harrods. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to give them fancy hampers from Harrods. And he said, I got to have a higher price point to pull that off. Scott, thank you, buddy. Mindset first. Kathy, Heidi, good morning.
Good morning, James. And how lovely of you to do this event and raise money. That's great.
Happy to support Ginger. She's a great friend.
It's amazing. Scott, you're definitely not the trailer queen. Maybe the queen of other things, but not the trailer. Mine's simple. I became the dog park queen. That was my first luxury listing. And people who own pets, dogs especially, they have money. And they spend time with their dogs. They might hand their kids off to a nanny, but they are at the dog park with their dogs. And, you know, there was one gentleman in particular that I stayed in touch with, AKA Stocked. I knew his route and I would bring my dogs and I would, you know, find him. And it was kind of a thing where everybody thought, wow, you're everywhere. And then I got involved with the chamber. So just finding something that, you know, speaks to your heart and that you enjoy doing and own it.
Kathy, Heidi, great answer. Thank you. Hey, I'm skipping up to Sarah because Sarah, I talked about you this morning. Did you hear me talk about you this morning? Sarah's the one, Bree, who sent me the email about the creamer and the lemons. I mean, I just love that message. It touched me. So Sarah, you get the next word this morning. Good morning to you.
It's kind of the same thing. The creamer and the lemons were like special and something that makes you look like you know what you're doing and everything is just elevated. And my first $2 million deal came from a guy who was a referral from a $150,000 sale. And I sold his $175,000 house. And he said, well, my friend wants to move. And I went out there and he said, your house is about worth $250 maybe, and then they built a $2 million house. And the reason I got that one was because I treated the $150 deal like it was as special as a $2 million deal. And then I just wrote my goals for the year. I wanted to sell more $1 million homes. That started to happen. Then I started a luxury group here in Columbus, Ohio. We have 22 agents in the group, and we've been together for, I don't know, 15, 20 years, and it's amazing the things that we help each other with.
And Sarah, if you treat just everybody in your database with kindness, opportunity comes your way, and people know lots of different people. You're earning that opportunity every step of the way. Sarah, thank you, and thanks for your note, too. It really meant the world to me over the weekend. Jack Smith, you're up next. Beautiful luxury downtown St. Pete. Hello.
You're so funny, James. I love how you repeat where I live every time. Listen, this is a topic that is near and dear to my heart because when I met Divya, she lived luxury and I didn't mm-hmm. know we lived luxury. I think one of the things that I've learned and probably the most important thing to know is it's the $350,000 housekeeper that told us about a luxury house going on the market. Just 3 weeks ago when Divya and I, when Philip and I purchased a condo. We're downsizing from a house to a condo because we're old and we don't want to deal with all the stuff that goes with the house and live in fancy like you anymore. Anyhow, the bottom line is the cleaning girl that works for Divya and her son called Divya and said, listen, there's a condo going on the market in the building. So you never know where those leads are coming from. The other thing I did is I joined the symphony. You know, the symphony in Manhattan cost you about $500 a ticket. The symphony in St. Petersburg runs you about $95 at the very, very most. So I joined the symphony, joined the private club that they have as well. We've gotten some referrals from that as well. But I think the most important thing is that we've learned from Brady and Caroline and KW Luxury Pro is that luxury is an experience. And we treat every single client, every single listing as if they're luxury. And that's where the most amount of money comes from us, with having other people refer to us because how we treat them. And all that matters. And you know what? Exactly what that young lady said to you about lemons and cream, that's exactly how you treat us. So thank you for the luxury you always give us.
Oh, Jack, it's my pleasure. Thanks for being part of what we do here. It means a lot. Those of you just joining us, we're answering Hannah's question from Pivot this morning. She says, luxury agents, how did you break into that type of real estate? Did you do any specific steps? What do you wish you knew then that you know now? She wants all the advice. So we've got 13 minutes to give her some more before we do what we're going to do at the top of the hour, which is talk to those of you who might have a little anxiety about your business this year because you didn't hit it the way you thought you would. And thinking about next year, we'll do that in about 12, 13 minutes. But right now we're talking luxury. And Mark Benson, I'm glad your hand's up. You're the perfect guy for this. You've been selling luxury for 30 years. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, James. Thank you for the opportunity. First of all, I would say listen to the recording of this call. You've already gotten a number of excellent tips. Second thing I would say is the expression success leaves clues. Follow the other agents in your market or around the country or around the world who are successful in luxury and learn what they do. Third is get education. I teach an 8-hour course on an introduction to luxury, so it's hard to compact this into 30 seconds. But I would say get out there in the market, go to broker open houses or open houses when you're not doing one. Go in and be observant. Don't go in there and take up all of that per agent's one thing time by monopolizing them. But just be courteous and respectful, because the next time you take a buyer into a luxury listing and you've met that agent before, it's not an introduction for the first time. It's nice to see you again. Thanks again for the opportunity.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Janine Garcia, you're next. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Luxury, it's different in there's a difference between the price point and the service. So price points there are so many different markets. It could be $600,000 or it could be $2 million. So first of all, just find out what's the luxury price point in your area and how close are you, and just start searching for the lifestyle of the people that are closer to the price point that it's in your area. That's number one. Number two, exactly what Mark said, education. And read, I read this book called Selling to the Affluent, and it is phenomenal because it'll tell you exactly how they think and how important it is to reach out to them without, you know, just being cheesy. Just be yourself. People do understand. They're there because they work hard. It's not just like you are doing it. You work hard. And then the other thing is, if you like things like I do, like the opera, for instance, that's my passion. Then I went and did all my connections, networking around opera. But some people can do it around sports. So find what you like to do and do the research and start networking in those.
Janine, thank you so much. Great advice. Brent, good morning.
Good morning. So I just got back from Houston and was able to listen to Robert Kirkovic. And one of the things that he talked about was, he owns 9 different luxury estates, and he talked about the mindset of what a rich person would look for. And especially with Shark Tank, the first thing they look for is sell yourself. Mm-hmm. They want to know in the first 30 seconds how you are as an agent, how you are as a person. So yep. You got to come with something that shows the excitement of how you are, the quality of a person you are. And then also you have to know your data. And, you know, they're going to ask the simple questions, you know, well, how are other homes selling in your area, you know, in this price point? And so you got to know your data. But then the last thing that was the most important, you got to hit their passion points. You got to show them the value, and you have to give them that experience. And that's something that Jack does. And so those types of things are what you want to do.
We can learn skill and all those things. We cannot teach work ethic. Like, do you just show up and get after it? And I think sometimes, like on a show like Shark Tank, they are just, they're buying into the person more maybe than the idea sometimes. And so go be that person people buy into. Brent, thank you so much. We're going to get as many more in as we can. We got 9 minutes and we got 8 hands. So we got to go rapid fire. Hope, Derek, you're next. Good morning.
Good morning. We recently had this conversation with a couple at our office, and my answer to them was, it's not something that you necessarily be. Like, there's not necessarily a checklist. It's what you become. So, like, it's what you're doing in your day-to-day. Are you training? Are you dressing professionally? Are you surrounding yourself with the right people? Like, I even think about you, James. When you started the Pivot Group, you weren't luxury in the mind of that, but I feel like you are now. Like, you've stepped into and you've learned and you've grown. So I think it's more not something that you be, but you become.
Yeah, you do become that, no doubt. Hope, thank you. Mary Ellen, good morning.
Good morning. So you should have a market center liaison for luxury. If not, reach out to me. There's luxury training that is free the first Wednesday of each month through Brady, which is amazing. We have a watch party every single month in our office, and we get people just love it. So create an avatar of a luxury client. Do your online presence, do all your marketing towards that. I just got a $2 million buyer. They researched 25 agents, got it down to 5. I interviewed for it and got the buyer listing because of my online presence and all my reviews and everything that I treat everyone with an experience, no matter what price point.
Reach out to that person in your office. Thank you. Shane, good morning. Good to see you.
So I want to kind of agree. It's all about, they tell you, dress for the job you want, not the job you have. So you have to put yourself in the right rooms. Luxury is half who you know and half what you know. So put yourself in the rooms with the people that are going to be buying and selling. That's how we grew our luxury business, being in the right rooms, having that reputation, the online presence. And again, it's about experience. They want an experience that no one else can have. Jack's on the right path.
Yeah, I believe in that too. It's all about experience. Thank you, Shane. Good to see you. Maria Sims, good morning.
Good morning. So when I started, the only way to have multi or million dollar listings was to sell farms or develop. I started learning everything I could about farms, which I grew up on once. I know a little bit about that, but development, I did not. So I started, you know, digging into where I thought those folks would be. But my very first million-dollar buyer came from, he had bought a $10,000 trailer in a place we call Crackworth. I'm sure Kim Wallace is going to know, because she's Georgia girl. And he told me, he said, sit in the car. You do not have to go in. That's how bad it was. But I earned his business because I was responsive and, you know, then followed up with him well. So you may have that luxury people right around you, right? You just have to start loving on them more. And one thing I found is they always are learners and they love to give back. So what can you teach them? So what do you need to learn to teach them? And usually it's tax strategies or, you know, high-end appliances, you know, something like that. It doesn't have to be anything great. But they also love to give back. So be where they are and start, you know, if they can tell if you genuinely have a heart of give back and charity. Yeah. So all of my great connections have come from learning or giving back.
No doubt. Maria Sims, thank you. So I'm going to have to ask Kaylee Radcliffe about this place you mentioned. I'm feeling she'll know it too.
Oh, yeah. She'll know Crackworth, baby. Don't you worry.
I got to find out. Cindy, you're next. Good morning.
Good morning. So exactly what Maria said, you know, Warren Buffett's famous quote of the more you learn, the more you earn. And so I broke in my second year in the business and had to compete for a new development of luxury condos. And I just studied everything that I could know. I went super overprepared, which I got the job, by setting up a mission statement for this project and all of this stuff. And that was before ChatGPT. I did all the research myself. But I joined the board of a school where my daughter went, that's very affluent learning school. And I also joined the alumni of my sorority, and just got involved in a lot of different things. A charity, two charities that I got on the board with, and just really submerged myself into being super involved in the community where like-minded people, you know, are part of. So that was what I did.
We're hearing the same stuff, Cindy, right over and over. It really doesn't matter how you want to build the business or what price point you want to be in. You want to be kind. You want to be engaged in the community. You want to be involved, and you want to hang out and help people. That's the answer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Stacy Grove, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, so much. This has been a great call because everybody in my, from my experience, has nailed it. And I think that connection piece is really important. We found in our marketplace, average sales price is about $365. Our average sales price is much higher than that. We had a huge sale in Tippecanoe County, $4.2 million. It's like unheard of. It's like
that's
three
half
times
of the county. Somebody bought half the county.
Yes. But that person chose us not just because of our reputation, but because they went back to their previous broker, and the previous broker from a different area said, they're the real deal. And so I think we can't discount the importance of the trust factor with the broker that they already know and the relationship that they have with somebody they already know, like, and trust, who will direct them to us.
True story. Our reputation spreads beyond the community, and you guys have a really good one. I know, because that's where I started my real estate career, y'all. Amy, you're next. Good morning.
Good morning, Pivot family. I just want to share that luxury is definitely about philanthropy and definitely about giving back. And the more we give back, the more we have seen luxury listings come into our world, so to say. And in our listing guide that we share with luxury sellers on listing appointments, we actually have a section of all the donations and charities that we support. And each year we change that page out, and it's a dollar sign. So each year it's increased. Last year it was 10,000. It's going up above that this year. But that's the first page they go to, and they see pictures of us at local charity events there giving back. And they say, wow, you do so much for our community. We want to be a part of this.
Yep.
And that is really what's gotten us a lot of luxury business. The other, my sisters in the chat, posted a true website. And so we took our last name, Butevich.com, made it into our own website. And instead of handing a business card, sometimes we tell them, check out our website. They go right on it. And they're really amazed by all the content we have on there. They can see our resume. They can see our listings sold, our active listings. And it's really been a blessing for us to really, not only, like I said, give back to our community, but to really be authentic in our luxury business.
Great share. Thank you so much, Amy. Appreciate that. All right, Nick, you get the last one. Good morning.
Good morning. So I gotta be honest, I'm actually doing luxury listings left and right. And I recently took my second one for this year. And something that helped me on that appointment is that when I had originally did my pre-call over the phone, they had asked me, like, do you sell homes in this area? We want someone that sells homes in this area. So I, on the appointment, I did tell them about the two listings that I sold near the area. But more importantly, I led with honesty and explained to them that I live nearby and I don't have kids yet. And I want to in the future. And I want to sell homes close to home so I can have more time with my kids. And I was telling them how important it was to take their listing and how much of a priority it would be. And how excited I would be to do it. So just leading, I told them I'm not the agent selling 50 homes a year in this neighborhood, and it would mean the world to me to sell your home. So just meeting with honesty.
Nice job. Go get on that bicycle. It's bicycle class time now for Nick Alvarez. Nick, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Great share. Thanks to everybody who shared. Hannah, thank you for asking the question. My favorite thing is when you guys go into Pivot Shift Ahead and ask questions like that, and then we'd spend 25 minutes getting great ideas, great strategy, and great points. Thanks to everyone who shared. Good morning, everybody. It is 8:01 Eastern. It's your friend James Shaw. It's good to see you. Thank you so much for choosing to wake up and be here this morning inside of Pivot Shift Ahead. Oh my goodness gracious, are we having some exciting times? Friday on the call, we talked about how you are not your production. Did that help anybody? Put it in the chat. It's just a reminder that you are not defined by your production, and it's easy to kind of feel that way sometimes because your office gives out awards for it, and they plaster stuff on the wall, and they call you a capper and all these things. And as we get to the end of the year, we start to think about it and go, I didn't do so great, or wow, I did awesome, I'm pretty good, but can I do it again? So yesterday, we talked to those of you that really did a great job and now have anxiety and fear about, can you do it again? And that's a group of you. There are, you know, there's 1,000 people on here this morning. There's a group of you that fit into that boat. But most of you fit in the other one. Most of you fit in the one that was like, man, I had big hopes and dreams, and it didn't quite pan out the way I wanted. What up with that? And we're going to talk about that this morning. That group of you that you might look at it and go, this was just not exactly what I had expected. But before we do that, we do some something goods. Barb Whitney, you're first. Good morning.
Good morning from Canada. So I just want to send out a huge thank you. It wasn't FOMO that I had because I really wanted to be at Advance. It was the fact that I just missed seeing everybody. But I got a call from Jack. He had a full car of people and they were chatting to me. And the people that reached out to me just to say hi and see how I'm doing filled my heart with so much joy. I almost felt like I was there. This is the first time I've really missed something. Well, I missed one once, but I was there.
You were there. You just had to sit in your room the whole time.
Yes. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much. It has been difficult, but we're getting through.
We love you, Barb. Send a lot of love your way, and we did miss you. Thank you so much. Ruben Gonzalez, good morning.
Good morning, James. Thank you for allowing me to share. My first time sharing, but something good is today I got a closing, and it'll be my graduate at a launch. And I've been working with these buyers since February. Well, building them up, rather, I should say. But, you know, just keeping in contact and applying the things that I've learned here out of this, you know, out of this call. You know, not every day, because, you know, I'm not going to lie and say come every day. But, you know, we try to come every day, right? So,
Ruben, I'm not even here every day, quite frankly. So it's fine. It's fine. But I'm glad you're here. Congratulations on the closing and for graduating out of that program. And thanks for making this part of what you do. Sorry to all the hands I didn't get to today, but you can put yours in the chat. I've got to get after it because Anna Kruger and Leah McCann and I were having a conversation before Advance about, as we were thinking about goal setting, and they both were telling me that, you know, there's this kind of funky feeling this time of year, and I've seen it too. And they're like, we need to address this on the call. So we did that Friday. If you missed Friday's call, you can go to any podcast platform, type in Pivot Shift Ahead Mastermind, and listen to the one where we talked about how you were not your production. That does not determine your worth. Then I broke it into these two pieces. Yesterday was those of you who have exceeded goal or met goal or had great years and the stress and anxiety that comes of can you do it again and all that kind of stuff. But today is the other group. And I just took some notes. I think that those of you who didn't hit your goals are actually the majority. I think you're the majority of the community. But you sit there sometimes on this call. This is an unintended consequence of this call. This community is definitely not perfect. It has challenges. There's no doubt about it. And one of the challenges it has is that we don't necessarily normalize being behind and struggling. There's this sense of, when people raise their hand and share, they're usually sharing some sort of win or something great that's happened. And then those of you that aren't experiencing that sometimes just kind of sit and feel alone or isolated or wondering, why don't I have that? The truth is, I think a majority of you are probably behind where you thought you would be. If you're one of those people, put it in the chat. If you are just behind where you thought you would be, you're in the majority. And there are some thoughts that come when we're behind or we're struggling. And those thoughts only get amplified when we sit there in silence doing it. And here are some things I just wrote down that you might be experiencing. I should be further along than I am. Boy, did I waste a lot of time this year. Everybody else has it figured out except me. Maybe this business isn't for me. Okay, a new year's coming, but I'm not really quite sure how next year's going to be different than this one. Like, I don't know what I should do. If I couldn't do it this year, what makes me think I could do it next year? Or I let myself down, or I let my family down, or whatever. Listen, I'm just, those are the thoughts. If you've had any of those, put them in the chat. I'm just curious, because I think those are the thoughts. But I think that we've got to have the right perspective about those thoughts. Those types of thoughts are usually a reaction to an outcome, not a reaction to your ability. See, you didn't get the outcome you wanted. And so then these thoughts come in your mind, and this is a reaction to whatever outcome you had, but not to your ability or you as a person. Because when the outcome doesn't match your expectation, then your brain fills that with some kind of story. And all that story does is exaggerates the disappointment that you have. It expands it. It makes it bigger than what it really is. And so I think we have to reframe some of this stuff. When I coached Bold, we used to teach, and Diana Kokoska taught me this. I've got a lot of gratitude for her as a mentor of mine. She would say, you cannot control your first thought, but you can control your second. And we're going to have thoughts that are negative. We're going to say things. Let me go back to my notes. We're going to say stuff like, I let my family down. I don't even know how I'm going to make next year different. Maybe this business isn't for me. Everyone else has it figured out. We might say those things. And then we've got to pause for a minute and reframe. I can't blah, 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 instead of I haven't blah, blah, blah yet. This thought of I'm always behind versus, okay, now I've figured out some ways that don't work. What are some things I can implement that do? This one, I'm so far behind, or it's too late, or I'm never going to catch up. Let's flip that one to now's the perfect time to reset. See, I don't think that the results of your year tells you what your potential is, but your process does. Is it a surprise I'm always going to go back to this? It's like we're going to sit here and talk process until you figure out that it's the day-to-day that determines the outcome, and that we're not going to get too obsessed with an outcome day-to-day. What we're going to focus on is the process that we choose to follow. Great years do not repeat because you add pressure to them. And tough years don't change because you have guilt associated with them. We've got to shift our process. If you're looking back at your results this year and you aren't happy with the results, interrogate your process and figure out what worked, what didn't, what's next. And that's the session that I did a couple of weeks ago for all of you. What worked, what didn't, what's next? Inspire members, use the worksheet to be able to go and figure out what worked, what didn't, and what's next. And so today what I'd ask you to do, and then I'll open it up here in just a second, what I'd ask you to do today is when you have these thoughts that come into mind, any of that negativity that comes around about your results, because remember, that negativity is not coming from your ability, it's coming from your outcome. You have the ability to do whatever it is you need to do to succeed in the business. You have it. It's there. The outcome is what's disappointing you. When you have that thought, take a moment and jot it down.
No, stop it.
Jot it down and then reframe it. Write down whatever that thought is and then ask, how can I move this into something that takes me forward instead of parking in this negativity that is holding me back? You can get a different outcome in 2026, and it starts with identifying the right process to follow. And the rest of this week, I think we're going to talk process, because I had this aha that people are going, James, you're telling us it's all about process, but I actually don't know what my process is. I don't know where to start. I don't know what I'm supposed to do next. I don't know what process to add to become more efficient. We'll talk about that the rest of this week. But today, let's talk to those people that feel like I'm a little bit behind. What's up with that? Julie Hess, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, James. Wow.
Just wow, I have so many notes. So just real quickly, June 30th, I kind of had a meltdown on my way to Bocce. I looked at my first half of the year and, you know, over the last couple of years, my business hasn't been going in the direction that I wanted. And so my husband was down in Philly with my son watching granddaughter and I called him. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I had a meltdown. I had 20 minutes to get to Bocce. And I'm like, I don't know why I'm doing this anymore. Why I didn't spend 15 years for my business to go in that direction when it should be going in this direction. And, you know, I just kind of went on and on and on. And, you know, why am I still doing this at this point in my life? Not knowing that he had me on the speakerphone. So my son, who has opened up Targets through the Philadelphia area and has taken some time off right now, said, Dad, you got to jump back in. And I'm going to jump back in and help her as well, because he knows how to manage teams and so forth. So it's been really interesting, because what we did was, I remember saying that day, if I'm going to continue, I am going to hit my goal this second half, but I don't have a clue how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to figure it out. So they jumped back in. And with that, in listening to you, you know, what I've learned, and I've always said this, I've been created for so much more. And what I had to realize was, am I working for others or am I working for myself? And that means if I have an employee, am I laying awake trying to figure out how to pay them? And I started to realize, wait a minute, this is my business. And I had to step back. And then I had to look at what are my goals for my life. And so we did a restructuring. And, you know, I was stuck. And I had this number that I personally would do 50, but I didn't attach anything to it. And so I will tell you, the good news is, you know, now I have a director of operations. And overnight, you know we lost my system 8 years, but overnight I ended up, I have a family business now. And I have a new energy. And now when I have my goals for next year, I've attached it, understanding the freedom number and understanding why I have to do as many, or I choose to do as many as I do. And, you know, I think it had to be stepping back and just realizing what are my personal goals for my life and why do I do this that I'm doing so I can truly create that life. And loving that you're not identified, you are not your production. And I think I came from that generation that I was my production. It meant,
well, you aren't. And I think a key lesson you gave us is that the goal's got to have purpose and meaning. Some of you are behind on a goal that doesn't actually mean anything anyway. Like, you just made it up. Let's set a goal with purpose and meaning, get clarity around the plan, which is what we did in advance, and then move forward to it. Julie, thank you. Mm-hmm. Artist Porter, you're next. Good morning. Oh, she took a sip. She's surprised I called on her, but you're up next, friend. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for calling on me, James. I write a lot of notes too, and my notes look crazy, but that first note was, I need a process and I need to stay consistent at it, period. Because I am one of those people who, now my outcome is not great in my business. It's like, am I supposed to be in this business? Did I waste all my time? But it's because I have not stuck to any process. And any process that I have had, I have not stayed consistent in it. Before, when I did have business, I was staying consistent. I had a process going, but I was ignoring myself. So I can't, like, I like that you said that you can't define yourself by your year, because I have a mentor. She's doing great. She's having a great year, but she doesn't feel so great because she's overwhelmed. And I'm in this state where I don't have any business, but it's like, I'm happy because this year just went so great for me in other ways. And I'm still able to be there for her, encourage her, because that can be overwhelming when you're winning and you don't feel like you can share with others and be truly honest about your winning season. I know my winning season will come back around. And when you have moments where things don't go your way, you can't sit in that. And I thank God I don't ever just sit in feeling down on myself. But yesterday, whenever Rhett Campbell speaks, I don't know if it's because his tone is like a dad to me, but I feel like I learned something. I downloaded that audiobook, but I just need to drift outside of my comfort zone, like I have in other areas of my life, to win in other areas this year. I drifted outside of my comfort zone, and I lost 50 pounds this year. Like, I'm happy about that. I'm showing up. I'm present for my family and my friends in a way that I haven't been. And I've also said no. Like, I'm not people pleasing. I'm saying no a lot more, and I don't feel guilty about it. And I know that if I stay consistent with a process and actually stick to it with my real estate business, I will end up winning. And that's all I got to do. So Stay on us about the process, James.
You're always winning. I mean, you're already winning. And by the way, this, you're an example of somebody that, look, you've proven that you can follow a process and stick to something in other areas of your life. And if you can do it there, you can do it here. You are designed for this business, or you wouldn't be here at this time of day. This is a reminder that anyone who's on this call, whether it's 8:16 a.m., 7:16, 6:16, or 5:16, you're a high achiever and a winner, because people who aren't high achievers don't do this. So if you're questioning, am I designed for this? The answer is yes, because you're here and you're doing what most people won't. Now you got to do the next step, do the next right thing, whatever that is. Thank you, artist. Vienna Fernandez, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for calling on me. And first, I just want to give artists her flowers, because it seems like as if you're growing in so many great ways that I'm pretty sure it's just going to overflow into your business. For me personally, I just switched over from another brokerage over to Keller Williams because I realized that the number one thing that was driving me crazy was the lack of process. And my team lead did recommend for me to go to the business planning with Gene Rivers, and I did that, and that alone just gave me so much clarity that it was so eye-opening, and now it's telling me exactly what are the processes that I need to have. And just wanted to kind of just put that out there so I can recommend that to anyone else also who feels like as if they need it. But I've learned so much in the couple of months that I've been with Keller Williams.
We're glad you're here. It's clarity of goal, clarity of process. We got to figure out those two things and we'll be in good shape. Thank you, Vienna. Jeff Parker, good morning in Denver.
What's up, friends? Artists, thank you for just what you shared. That was unbelievable. I am a negative self-talker. So when I get behind goal, I just beat up myself. And here's where, James Shaw, you're sneaky. This group is changing my soundtracks. And this group is changing how I show up and hear myself. So I go back to a couple of things. So when I'm behind goal, normally I'm going to dwell on that. Normally I'm going to spiral, but I'm holding on to three things that this group taught me. One, I go back to a business planning thing that you did, James, a couple of years ago, where you just said, great, if you're behind your goal, what if your new year starts today? This was like a September a couple of years ago. So August or September of this year, I just said, this year sucks. Screw it. 2025 is over. All I'm going to care about is building a pipeline, putting my head down, focusing on the systems that I'm learning, I'm implementing into my just self. And now I, for the first time in the 4 years that I've been in the business, I have a strong pipeline going into a new year. And I'm super optimistic about what next year is going to hold, because I just said, I don't care about 2025 anymore. I'm focusing on the process. Next, the two, our friend Alexi Pappas, just those, the rule of thirds that we talk about, that say a third of the days are going to suck, a third of the days are going to be okay, and a third of the days are going to be great. So just knowing that that is awesome for me has just really, really helped me. And then the other part that I think was also Alexi, there have been just a few days on those new days, I have literally tried the new day that she talked about. And I have gotten back into my bed, or I just said, you know what, like I, new day, I'm going to start over. I'm in a funk. I'm going to show up better for my wife. I'm going to show up better for my kids. I'm going to show up better for myself in this moment. So this group and the things that you do to introduce to all of us, it's making a difference and it's rewiring the things in my life. And I know for so many of us. So thank you.
Thank you, Jeff, for listening and remembering all those things. Alexi Pappas is one of my favorite people we've ever had on. She's been in Pivot twice, Inspire twice, and those pieces of advice from her are great. And then it goes back to what we said yesterday, too. You can start the year over whenever you want. You can run it on a rolling 12 months if you want. It doesn't really matter to me. Like, you aren't defined by where you are on November 18th based on where you started on January 1. That is not who you are, whether it was amazing or not so amazing. You aren't any of those things, but you can figure out who you are. All right, that's it. We're out of time. I got to go teach Shift. Thank you for being here. Those of you that will be at Shift today, I'll see you there. Everyone else will be back and better than ever tomorrow. You got your inspiration. Go put in the perspiration. Bye, everybody.